Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Beating chains, falsely accused, framed in prison is the story of Rusty Labuschagne. He's been, which I probably got wrong again, excuse me. He's been through traumas through that few have been able to endure or have been able to experience or disclose. Here to tell us the full story and how to pronounce his surname correctly is Rusty himself. Rusty, good morning to you.
Good morning, Giles.
Come on, I know I got it wrong, Rusty, so please tell me how you pronounce your surname, because I got it wrong, I know I did.
Rusty Labuschagne.
There you go. And I put a French accent to it. And also we're joined by Sandra. Good morning to you, Sandra. Good to have you with us as well.
Morning, Giles. Good to be here.
Whereabouts do we find you guys, by the way, this morning? I'm seeing a gorgeous Prince of Elephants behind you, so that's either a hell of a Zoom screen or you're somewhere rather exotic.
We're in Cape Town. Beautiful sunny day in Cape Town.
Oh, I'm extremely. Okay. It's a beautiful sunny day here as well in Spain. For those who don't know, Rusty, tell me a little bit about the lead up to the horrendous events that you underwent and how your life changed.
Giles, very quickly, I'm part of the French Huguenot. You settled in the Cape between 1688 and 1691. In 1913, my great-grandfather trekked up to southern Rhodesia, which is now Zimbabwe. And that's where my life started, from humble beginnings as a fourth-generation Zimbabwean in a cattle ranching background. I lost my dad at 12, went to boarding school at 6 years old, 200 miles away. So, yeah, it was a hard upbringing throughout the Rhodesian Bush War on cattle ranches, and being crazy about rugby and water polo, which are both rough sports, and the war environment created a wild, hardy character. And I'm telling you this, Giles, because I believe that resilience is something that is learned. You're not born with resilience. You're born with fortitude. And I think that my tough upbringing still stood me in good ground for the time I had to serve. And then I left school. I mean, we grew up humble beginnings. I was very ambitious, loved hard work, and I was also a good rugby player. I played rugby for my country, several rugby tests, which was a privilege. But I went into business in the safari industry, and I was very successful. And by the year 2000, I was flying my own aircraft. I had a fishing resort on Lake Kariba, 5 safari operator areas, and life was fantastic. And then I chased 2 fish poachers in a steel boat. Immediately upon seeing me, started paddling hastily for the shore in an effort to get away from me. And there were 2 of us in my boat, 2 in their boat. And knowing they were notorious poachers and had given me trouble before, I just wanted to scare them. And the wake of my boat tilted their boat, causing them to jump out into the water, which was about 5 feet deep, and they were about 3 yards from the shore, and soon scrambled to dry land. And my friend and I watched as they ran away into the bush and thought nothing more of it. I mean, anti-poaching is a normal procedure in a safari concession. And the following day, the police arrived with one of the poachers and accused us of drowning the other one. And long story short, it was during the time of the land invasion chaos in Zimbabwe. And against police evidence, without a body and on presumptions, I was convicted of drowning that poacher. And the shock was inexpressible. I mean, I was a self-made successful businessman with a high standing in the community. And, what was going through my head at that time can never be explained. But what I didn't know then, Giles, was from that moment on, my life would never be the same again.
We talk about, you stayed in Zimbabwe after the elections of 1980. You grew up in that place. You said that your grandfather, your great grandfather, trekked north up there. And it would be very easy for people to say, it was the right and proper thing to do for people to reclaim their land. It had been taken from them, etc. But we're all for reparations, but there was a systematic campaign from the highest officers of Mugabe against the people who had made their lives there, and based purely on the color of their skin.
That's exactly what happened. And unfortunately, the masses were believed to think that they were entitled to everything, and that was all a campaign for elections, and it just caused chaos. And then, I mean, there were farmers murdered there, reporting to the police stations for protection, and the police were not allowed to help them. Mm. No one knows what went on. There was no law whatsoever. Injustice system broke down completely. It was unbelievable.
And based where we are in Marbella, which is in the south of Spain, there are a lot of people from former Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, who moved over here because the climate's so low. And actually, I have heard these tales time and time again. And it's perhaps one of the great sort of unreported stories of the late 20th century. Sandra, what was your reaction? Were you actually, on the safari itself at that time?
No, I wasn't. I only met Rusty 3 years after he came out of prison.
Right. Okay. So this is the light at the end of the tunnel then, basically, Sandra. You are the light at the end of the tunnel. Every story is a happy denouement. Judging from the grin that he just broke into, I suppose it is. Rusty, explain to me then, your reaction, your shock, when you find yourself in, when you say you've done 10 years in prison, you didn't do 10 years in prison, you did 10 years in basically hell.
Yeah, I did. I'll give you an example of the first day, Jal. So when you arrive in the prison, I mean, first of all, when you walk out the courthouse from being a successful businessman, and well known in the country from being a national rugby player and big businessman, to be seen on Main Street during rush hour in shackles is very, very humiliating. And there were hundreds and hundreds of people there. And then they take you to the prison and they strip you, you're stripped naked, and you walk into the exercise yard. So when you finished at admin, then you only get your clothes once you're inside the courtyard. So you walk across the courtyard through these huge wooden doors into the maximum security exercise yard, naked, stark naked. And there were 1,000 guys in there. And, I had this huge fear of prison I think we all do, because it's in the world. And amazingly, Giles, and it's something for the audience as well, there's a big thing about fear that is more powerful than the actual incident. Make no mistake, I was terrified. But once I was convicted, then I knew I had a plan that I can deal with. And I was speaking to a friend of mine that was shot in the Amazon a while back. He was one of those adventurous guys. And I mean, the thought of getting shot is horrific, confirmed. When he was shot, he said it felt like someone punched him. And then he realized he'd been shot, and he thought, well, that's not too bad. I'm okay, So, and it's the same thing, Giles. It was terrible, but once you're in the place, you know where you're going, you know how to confront things. I mean, it was about getting through everyday life. I mean, the conditions were unbelievable. They gave me a pair of clothes in there, and it's just a short-sleeve white shirt and a pair of drawstring white shorts. And underwear was not permitted. And you were only allowed one set of clothing at any one time. And you never owned anything. So they control what you wear, what you eat, what you drink, what you hear, what you say, what you read, what you write, everything. There's no radios, no TVs, nothing. No watch, no mirror, no beds, no tables, no chairs, no nothing. It's just bare concrete floors.
And one thing that strikes me at this, if you have nothing coming in from the outside world, And you have, so there's no TV, no radio, you have no watch, there are no clocks. You have no idea when you get up what time it is, how long you've been asleep, what day it is. And if you don't keep mental notes, you get, it's like, that's a psychological torture, Rusty.
Well, they tell you to wake up and get out of there, make no mistake. And then you follow the date and the time through the guards. You just ask them, you know, this, the only other way. It's a hidden world in a prison. It's unbelievable. And it's designed in Africa to break you. The whole thing is suppression. I mean, when you talk to a guard, you're not allowed to talk to him at his height. You have to crouch down on your knees. Otherwise, he'd ignore you. And sometimes they'll say, roll over. And you have to roll over. Shine my boots. Shine his boots. But the whole time, Giles, I said to myself, because I knew they were trying to break me, I said, you've imprisoned my body, but you'll never imprison my mind. I will be going out of here one day, and you will never be anybody but who you are, and I know who I am. And as long as you can have the mindset that you don't let them affect your mind, and you know who you are, where you're going, and what you've achieved in your life, don't allow yourself to be affected by them. They're just prison guards.
You talked about how, you know, you liked hard work. Water polo, which is a hard game, trust me. It might look like a bunch of people, and I used to play goalie in water polo because I'm a wimp, so I could hang on to the sides. But also, and rugby union, which we know is, you know, God's own game, so that's fine. And that's a certain physical toughness. But when you had a discipline to get to be successful in business, you need a plan, you need discipline, you know, you need the graft. You know, it's all very saying, look, I've got the big car, but people have to understand how you get there. But until you're actually tested mentally on that level, it is, you know, you have to, in the parlance, dig deep, and you have to discover bits about yourself that you never knew you had, and really grasp it.
You know, Giles, we all have it in us. I'm telling you, people say, oh, no one could have got there but you. But I'm telling you, we all, and I'm not being arrogant at anything, but we've all got a hero inside us, but we're not all tested to see how far we can go. And let me tell you, when you have to, you do. There's no other option. When you've got to get through there, all you need is air to breathe, a place to lie down, some water to drink, and I can make another hour, make another day. Because the thought of, you know, the airplane and the safari camp, that was, doesn't even come near your mind. Nothing. Because it's painful to think about it. You've got to block all that out. It's about survival. It's about getting through each day. I mean, our cells, Giles, were 13 meters by 3 meters, and we were 79 guys in there. So each person had 13 inches, 33 centimeters, marked out on the walls in chalk. You were packed like sardines on your sides, with legs all crossing over in the middle, and you all faced the same direction. When you turned over, it was all together. I mean, there's no furniture whatsoever, Giles. There's not even a mirror. I didn't see my face for the first 8 years. And as cushioning against the cold concrete floor, you'd fold two of your paper-thin, worn-out, lice-ridden blankets several times to fit your 33 centimeters, then covered yourself with the third one. And your clothes were wrapped around your toothbrush and toothpaste, or they'd get stolen, and that was your pillow. It was, and then we had no basins or taps in the cells, and only one set of clothing was allowed at any one time. So we had to wash our clothes in the cell toilets at night wearing a blanket, then hang them on the walls with smuggled book staples to dry by the next morning. It was, the conditions were unimaginable, and the lice. Now, I'd never seen lice in my life before, Giles, and I'm sure many of the audience haven't. But let me tell you, they're two kinds. Some of them are about 5 millimeters long, and some are like pepper ticks. They're tiny little things, and they are everywhere, thousands, and they never go away. Your blankets, in your hair, and everywhere on the walls, and they crawl and bite day and night, leaving itchy, weeping blisters. And because they never stop, they're draining mentally and physically. And I'm telling you, Giles, I can go through hard times. Yeah, I'm not scared of that stuff. But those lice were worse than anything, worse than the sleeping on the floor. I mean, in my first 6 years, Giles, during the Zimbabwe dollar crash from 2003 till 2009, I watched over 2,200 guys die, primarily from malnutrition. I'll say it again. I watched over 2,200 guys die. It was during the Zimdollar crash when there was no food outside of prison, never mind in there. It was horrific. When I was moved to a medium security prison during the cholera outbreak, there was a cholera outbreak in 2008 and 2009. In 8 months, out of 1,200 of us prisoners, 432 guys died. More than one third of us in 8 months. It was unimaginable. I mean, there's guys dying everywhere.
But because of the regime, this news didn't get out. Nobody knew about this, Rusty.
You know, Giles, there's no way of getting out. I mean, we tried everything. And, you know, we sent letters out to lawyers and all kinds of things trying to, because the conditions are unimaginable. I mean, we were locked up for 20 hours a day. There was no food. We ran out of water. That's another thing I haven't told you. In 2005, so 2 years after I got in there, Harare City ran out of water. For 3 years, while in Chicxulub Maximum Security Prison, each prisoner was allocated only one plastic cup of water a day, one cup of dirty orange city runoff water from a nearby dam carried by farm prisoners. That was to drink, clean your teeth, wash your face, bath, everything. For 3 years, Giles, 3 years. And that's where guards really started dying. And you know, the assistant commissioner came round to the prisons. Now, Chicxulub is a massive prison, 2,200 guys. And he came during lunchtime lockup. And there's a grill between where he was walking, like a corridor thing, and us. And in that prison, we were 46 guys and in the cell. And I walked to the front, and they were terrified, you know. They knew I'd talk my mind. And he comes with an entourage, you know, like 20 oaks. They have to have, you know, a whole lot of following them because they're very important. And he said to him, he asked for any requests. So I said, "Officer, is there any way you can do anything about the death rate in the prison?" And he looked at me and he said, "We don't give up that easy." And we walked off. I couldn't believe it. That was his answer, Giles. "We don't give up that easy." Now, this is the mentality. And the other thing, Giles, that people don't know is 99% of the prison service is run by war vets. They're used to killing people. For 12 years, that's what they did. And now they're rehabilitating you. How does that work?
Mm. You're here, you're out, you're in Cape Town. I mean, what was that first? I mean, what was the process like? And we've only got 9 minutes, Rusty, so here we go. But that process, when you got the news, when you stepped out onto sort of free, as a free man, quote unquote.
When I walked out of prison, it was the most unbelievable feeling. You know, people don't appreciate freedom. And I realized that even when you're not in prison, there are ways in which you imprison ourselves. So our business partnerships, badly selected careers, being obsessed with money and ambition in the corporate world, even unhappy marriages. And it's only when you have your freedom completely taken away, you realize in many ways that you're actually in prison too. And when I look back on it all, Giles, it makes me wish I could somehow get through to people how precious and priceless freedom is. Freedom is not just not being in prison. Freedom is the ability to make a choice and act on it. Freedom is letting go of what you can't control. Freedom is forgiveness. Freedom is being free from negativity. Freedom brings help. If you can be free in all areas of your life, then you'll reach your full potential.
But how, Rusty, can you, how, you just said forgiveness and gratitude. You spent 10 years in the most horrendous conditions. You had a successful business taken away from you on a fool's head. It would be very easy to be a victim, to say, okay, well, F it. You know, my life is ruined. You know, get into drink, get into drugs, go, that's it, my life is over. You know, the government took this away from me, and just give up. Now, I know that you're driven, and you're sitting there now in Cape Town looking, you know, like I said, looking pretty good. But how did you go? Is it a case of, I will not let this beat me? You know, I have that, as you mentioned before, that hero inside me. But to forgive people who wronged you like that, and to show gratitude when you went through a decade of deprivation, you would, I mean, a lot of people say, well, I couldn't possibly do that.
One of the biggest, in fact, the biggest lesson I learned in prison, Giles, was true forgiveness. Forgiveness is massive. I mean, the anger, hatred, and bitterness that I was carrying, you know, and I had plans for each and every one of them. I mean, I was angry. And then after about a year, Charles, of beating myself up for nothing, I realized that they'd forgotten about me long ago. And here I was, consumed by the unfairness of it all, with all my plans for each one of them. And I was just beating myself up for nothing. And you know, I remember it like yesterday, Charles. It wasn't a gradual process. It was a mindset shift. And I remember walking that exercise yard, tired of all the anger, hatred, and bitterness. And I looked up and I just said, Lord, take care of them and let me get through this road they've been putting in front of me. What goes around comes around. They will get their judgment day. And once I accepted that, Charles, it was an instant feeling like I'd been carrying a secret that I was terrified my mates are going to find out and, you know, hiding for years and years. And then one day I just decided I'm going to tell Alex. And it was like, it's out, it's gone, no more worrying about nothing. I freed myself. And that's what happens. And that's what happened, Charles. I let it all go. And I said, let me just get through this road that's been put in front of me. You know, the past was too painful and the future full of unkept promises. So I just dealt with each day as it was. And I learned to have faith because no amount of worrying was going to change what I was going through.
Rusty, I'm going to run out of time. I know we've only just got started, man. We've been going for about 23 minutes already. If people want to find out what you're up to, and it's inspirational, I urge people to find, A, get hold of the book, which is Beating Chains, and B, go and find him online. If people want to find you online, Rusty, and we'll continue this conversation at some point very soon, my friend, but where can they find you online and where can they find the book?
Beatingchains.com is my website, beatingchains.com.
The book is called Beating Chains. The website is called Beating Chains. Rusty, yes. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you again, my friend.
Charles, my book is on most of the bookshops as well and on Amazon.
And available as a virtual download from our virtual bookstore too. Rusty, thank you so much for your time today, mate.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.